Democracy in Action, a program on how a state functions, featuring in-depth discussions with experts on governance, politics, and decision-making. Tune in as every week we explore the complexities of governance. What is democracy? What is your role as a citizen? All these and more in Democracy in Action, Thursday at 9 a.m. with a repeat at 9 p.m. the same day. Stay informed and engage with Democracy in Action. Radio Miraya, the voice of peace.
Hello and welcome to Democracy in Action with me, Sunny Martin. In our episode this morning or today, we shall be looking at the role of political parties in promoting democracy in our country, South Sudan. And that's what we are going to be discussing, and our lines will be open to you later on, where you can call us on 0912062079 or 0912062950. Those are all our lines. You can call and be part of our discussion. And in the studio, we will be discussing more about this topic with our two guests or three guests. One will be online and two are already with me here in the studio. And as we explore more about the role of political parties in promoting democracy, and I am joined in the studio by Honorable Bol Toby Madot, who is the leader of South Sudan African National Congress, SANUM Party, and also a member of the reconstituted Transitional National Legislative Assembly here in Juba. Welcome to Radio Miraya, Honorable.
Thank you, Brother Sunny Martin. I'm very happy to be back in Radio Miraya studio and also to share the studio with my brother, Dr. James Okok. Thank you very much, and greetings, good morning to all the listeners of Radio Miraya.
Yes, and thank you for helping me to introduce my next guest, Dr. James Okok, who is a political analyst, and he has been here many times. Welcome to Radio Miraya.
Thank you, Sunny Martin, for getting us to discuss this critical matter at the time we are already approaching election.
Yes, with just a few months to election. Yes, we have also on the line here Paul Wani, who is a political affairs officer working for the United Nations Mission in South Sudan. He joins us on the line. Good morning, Paul, and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Sunny, and thank you so much, and good morning to all our listeners.
Okay. First of all, let's begin with a very simple analysis, Dr. James Okok. When we talk about the role of political parties in promoting democracy in our country, South Sudan, looking at the context, like just you have put it in your introduction, that we are approaching our first election since South Sudan got independence in 2011. So, first of all, what are the critical roles of these political parties in terms of promoting democracy? Because we know that there are so many. According to the Political Party Council, right, I was told there are 66 political parties, or there may be more.
Yeah, thank you, Sunny, once more. Before I get to the role of political parties, let's know also what is a political party.
Yes.
So we, according to academic references, the political party is a group of people who have more or less similar ideas, and they want to influence the public opinion so that they get their candidates to the office. And getting to the office, there are many methods. The most acceptable method in our century is the democratic method, competition with others on the influence and the vote of the people, so that they become part of the government, and then they can implement their policies, they can implement their ideologies, and direct the country toward a particular end or aims. So this is generally what we understand by a political party. Now, coming to the role, of course, the role is connected with this divination. They're supposed to really develop ideas, and sometimes this is what you call ideology. So they're supposed to have these ideas, and then they tell the people that once we are the government, mm-hmm. or we are in the government, then we will follow these ideas, and these ideas are supposed to contribute to the welfare of the people. And then they become the authority to lead these ideas. And these ideas, some of them are translated into laws, some into policies, into regulations, and then into actions. So this is what they are supposed to do. But for them to do that, they have to be influential.
Yeah.
Because if they are not influential, nobody will even take note of their ideas. So the influence they create between the people and even the government that is there, if they are not yet in the government, that influence is very important for them to move forward their ideology and their program. And because of that, their role is to educate the people about what is good for the country,
mm-hmm.
and what need to be prioritized in the country. So that education makes people to be aware, and then they start joining them. That's where the membership of the political parties become very important. And the more they have members, the more influential they become.
Yeah.
The less they have members, then the influence become a bit limited, you know. And with that, they need a strong leadership to lead them, and us to be the one telling them, let's do it this way, let's do it this way, and that those leaders are respected, and then the membership really follow them, and that become the role that they play in producing leaders in the country, and then go for fair and free
election.
Democratic election, so that whoever is lucky among them and whoever is more influential on the vote of the people can become the government of the day, or they become a coalition of the government with others if they cannot make it alone.
Right.
So this is the general role that political parties are supposed to play, and they have to play this within the rule of law.
Yeah.
There will always be an act passed in the parliament to regulate how political parties should compete this.
Okay. We shall be coming back to you later on. Let's find out more from Honorable Ball. You are a member of parliament. You're also the leader of the South Sudan African National Union, the SANU party. The same question more or less like what I asked Dr. John Sokuk earlier. What role do political parties in South Sudan play to promote democracy, and also can political parties achieve its role as a single party, or like James O'Cook said, they have to form a coalition?
Thank you very much, Brother Sunny Martin. I don't want to repeat things that my brother, Dr. James O'Cook, have explained. They're very clear, but I want to pick up two things that he talked about. One is the influence of the political party. And also the second thing was the method that the political party follow to get to the political power or to the seat. These two things have been forgotten in South Sudan. South Sudan, since we gained our independence, we came from a very long civil war. And when we gained our independence, the first thing that the government was working on is to establish a democratic political system where things, how it could be done. And one of the very important and crucial steps that was supposed to take place is to separate the political parties from the element of the army.
Mm-hmm.
And this process started very well, and that's where the SPLM and the SPLA were separated. And the SPLM became a political party, and the SPLA become now what we know as the South Sudan People Defense Forces. It's mm-hmm. not connected to the party. These steps were very important. Now, go back to the two things that I said I want to talk about. The influence that people of South Sudan did not know that, where the party, it's by the number. The weight of the party, it's how much members they have in a different part of South Sudan. That's the influence that the party have, and that's the influence that helped the party to gain to the seat through the election. Now, the method that the party should get the seat is through the election. We never had an election in South Sudan since independence of South Sudan.
Mm-hmm.
And now the people of South Sudan are fearing when they say we're going for election, are fearing.
Why?
They are fearing because it's the first time they go to the election. They mm-hmm. won the election. They won the election. But then the fear, it's unknown fear. It's fear of something that they don't know. Now, the political parties that they don't want it to go to the election, and that will take us back to the step that I said earlier, where there was a separation of, where we wanted to purify the political parties to take away the element of the army.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when the crisis happened in 2013, the process did not complete itself. Now, the parties that went out to the war, when we came back and we signed an agreement, there are some political parties that came back with an element of army in it.
Mm-hmm.
So that one took us back to make sure that we are not actually in a political democratic dispensation yet. We need to work on that step first. Now, those parties that have an army on, when people are talking about going to election, they inject some fear into the people of South Sudan, where they said, if we go to the election, then we will go back to square one. Square one is what? They're talking about war. Why are they talking about that? Because they have an element of army in the system of their party.
Yeah.
And now when they say that, it's because to fear the people of South Sudan. But I want to take this opportunity to tell the people of South Sudan, do not fear. We have here different countries where they talk about issues and problems that may arise if they go to election. But they have gone to election. In our region, we have our neighbor country, Kenya. Every time when they go for election, there is a rumors and there's a lot of talk that this will happen and that will happen. But they go through election. And now Kenya is okay. People have traveled there and they're traveling out and things are moving forward. South Sudan will have to overcome this fear and we need to go to election. It will not be a perfect election, but it will be a step that we can start from.
What can be done to overcome that kind of fear where, like you rightly put it, when people talk about election, people think of going back to square one? What role can a political party like yours play in order to remove that fear away from either the political parties themselves or the people, the citizens?
This will take us back to what my brother Dr. James Okuk said earlier, educating our citizen. There is nothing will take us to square one. There's nothing will take us to war because people of South Sudan are tired. People of South Sudan are tired of the instability of the war that we have been going through. And they want to have a peace in their country.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that alone, it's enough to take away that fear. But we need to come as the leaders of this country. The political parties, they need to come out and say, let's go for election. And we will face the challenges that are ahead of us. And this is what SANU Party is doing now, telling the people of South Sudan, let's go forward. Let's move forward and face the challenges that are ahead of us.
Mm-hmm.
If it's an agreement, it's an agreement signed between us as brothers in this country. So we can sit down and we can see how we can overcome the challenges of the agreement. And then we can move forward.
Okay, let me pick again from what James Okuk said, that for you to have the influence, you must have people around the country, your supporters and your numbers to grow. But many people in this country have said that most of these political parties sometimes are briefcase, sometimes they are centered here in Juba. They don't have presence at the state levels. Sometimes they may have only at the state capitals, but not in the counties and Bomas. What is your take on that as a leader of SANU?
This is a reality. Yes, we have some political parties that are small in size and they're not, they don't have a presence in a different states and in different places. But our laws, the Political Party Act, has a solution for some of stuff like that, where the political party that may see themselves as small, they can come in coalition and they can form one party or they can work together as long as they provide the legal requirement to register as a political party. Then they can move forward and then they can go through the election. But we cannot diminish or take away the process and the exercise of the election because there's some parties that may not qualify for election. I'm sure within all this big number of political parties that we have in South Sudan, we will have quite a few numbers that will qualify to go for an election. And if there's a few, they probably will have a candidate. And if they have candidates, then we can go through the election. We need to go for an election. Within our coalition of National Agenda Group that we are in, SANU Party came clear from the beginning that we are with the election and we are going to work for the election. And we're working with our members in different states and the three administrative areas to prepare ourselves for the election. When we came and we sat with our coalition, we came out a few days ago with our position where we are with the election. Now, let me let me give a little clarification here. When we said that we are, as a coalition, with an election to take place, as is stipulated in the agreement and the roadmap, within the National Agenda Group, we have 12 political parties plus DC. So it's 13 political parties. There are some parties that probably are not ready to present their candidate and to run for the election.
Mm-hmm.
But those parties, even though within their party, they are not fully organized and ready for election, but they believe that election should take place.
Okay.
So they are supporting the election to take place, even though they may not be organized ready for the election. SANO is organized ready. SANO is for the election. SANO is saying, let's give the power back to the people of South Sudan to decide who should lead them.
All right. Yes, Paul Wani, you are the ANMIS political affairs officer, and ANMIS has been playing a big role in empowering and supporting political parties in South Sudan. Maybe briefly, can you tell us the role of ANMIS in terms of supporting political parties in this country? What do you do as ANMIS?
Yeah, thank you so much, Sunny, for the question, and thank you for the colleagues in the studio. They are doing a great job elaborating and educating our listeners. Let me pick it up from here that ANMIS has been working so closely with the political parties to be able to help them. One of the reasons, one of the things that ANMIS has been doing is to support. ANMIS has been supporting the development of civic and political space. And for political space in particular, initiated the Political Parties Forum. This Political Parties Forum is an informal forum that ANMIS thought was very important to be able to bring political parties together so that they're able to discuss important or pertinent national issues. If we are to look at the Political Parties Forum in particular, we initiated it way back in, I think, in 2016. If you can remember very well, after the 13 crisis, then the agreement that was signed in 2015. In 2016, the Government of National Unity was formed. But again, there was mistrust among the political players in the country. So ANMIS thought it would be good to create an informal forum to be able to bring these political parties together to discuss issues of national development. And one of the objectives of the Political Parties Forum was to provide an informal forum for political parties representatives to come together,
mm-hmm.
and then to for them to be able to create a rapport among themselves and do away with the mistrust among the politicians, and then also be able for the politicians to be able to talk together and come out with answers for to the questions that the citizens were asking.
Yeah.
Regarding the peace, regarding the governance of this country, and so many other reasons. And then you can remember that in 2016, when the national dialogue was initiated, as I say, parties were not talking. So one of the reasons was to share comparative experiences from other transitions with political leaders to provide inspiration for them as they consider the greater good of South Sudan. And in 2016, when the national dialogue was initiated, the South Sudanese army supported South Sudanese politicians that came together to form the national dialogue. We supported them,
mm-hmm.
and they were taken to South Africa to be able to learn from the South African experience. And when they came back, from there, there are some parties which were not actually interested in the national dialogue. They came together and they were able to continue discussing that.
Right.
And then two,
yeah.
Very, very important also to mention is that ANMIS through the mission leadership, good offices, engages the top leadership of this country, calling upon them to support the development of civic and political space in this country.
Okay.
As you've heard, as we are going towards election this year, there's supposed to be a space created so that all these political parties that you've mentioned are able to engage and sell themselves, because at the end of it all, the nationals of this country need to elect people into government.
Right. Okay.
So there should be
We will be coming back to you shortly. Let's hear from Dr. James Okuk, whose voice has been eloquent about issues to do with the political affairs of this country. Dr. James, in terms of policy making in a country like ours, South Sudan, where really things are beginning to come out, we are beginning from scratch or from zero, as many people have said. We were supposed to have an election in 2015, and by now we would be having our second election, I think. If the term was supposed to be five years, we should be having either election, should have an election last year, or we'll be having an election this year, if my mathematics is very correct. But right now, the question I will be asking is, in terms of policy making, how can a political party influence the state's decision-making apparatus to advance the interests of the people and the country when enacting policies?
Okay, thanks, Sani Martin. Because policy making is part of the influence that I was talking about, that political parties are supposed to be ahead in, and then these ideas translate into policies, and these policies guide the government once these parties manage to become part of the government or when they become the government. So in a country like South Sudan, the situation of the political parties is a bit confused. And we understand why the confusion in all this. When we talk of political parties, actually, sometimes we mix them even with military parties.
Yeah,
that mixture is still existing in South Sudan, and we understand. Now, if you go to the registry of the political parties in the Political Party Council, you will find that maybe like 14 they have registered. And the rest are still struggling, and others are still having military wing of their parties. And a party that has a military wing is not supposed to be called a political party, actually.
Yeah.
By law, they are supposed to be civilian by nature in all this.
Because we understand you are here, Dr. James Okuk, in 2010, I think. People were told to relinquish their military uniform and join politics. I remember very well.
Exactly. That's what's supposed to happen. But now look at even the defection. Those who defect with military uniform, they are brought to the SPLM house the next day. and they are portrayed as a party of the members. This is the mixture and the confusion I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And this is not good news for civic education, are also for civic competition, are also for the civic space,
mm-hmm.
are also for political space. Because when you mix the uniform with the civilian, I don't know how they meld together. The two are supposed to be separate. And this is the challenge we still have with our political parties today.
Mm-hmm.
Let us start from the mother parties that we think that is the biggest party, that is the SPLM. Internally, SPLM need a lot of work for it to become a political party. Mm-hmm. They're not yet a political party. They have been a movement, but for them to transit into a civilian political party is very difficult.
Now, I don't want to speak for them, but if a member of SPLM sits with you here right now, they will say, no, we have all the structures on ground, we have the numbers, we have the people, we have everything.
Yeah, but who are these people? Some of them are Red Army, they are what? You know, it's a mixture of all confusion that you get in the SPLM.
I know you...
It has its own challenges, and that's why it creates fear that you are saying people think if we go to competition with this mixture and confusion...
I read somewhere that they said they have 4 million members in the Baragazai region.
Of these members are even in military uniform.
Yeah.
The following day, you get them in red, and then the other day, you get them with rank. This is the all confusion that you have.
Okay.
Not only that, there is another confusion of the parties to the agreement. It's not every party to the agreement that is a political party, by the way, because there is a process and there is a law that guides the political parties. So if you have not gone through that legal process, you cannot just call yourself a political party. You can name yourself, but legally you are not, because there are things that are missing in this. So there is also that confusion. The parties that signed the agreement and then the political parties. These are total different things. These need to be defined very well. If the parties to the agreement, some of them are not political parties, they have to transit now and into political parties and go according to the law. And it's very clear why the Political Parties Council was established is to regulate the parties as they transit, so that, you know, the standard that are required, they are met, and then now that party can be registered. If they find themselves like what he said, that they cannot meet the criteria, they have the right to come together, coalesce or form an alliance and give themselves a name. And then they now meet the criteria. Then they can register by that name and then go to compete in the election. This is a very confused process, and I'm a bit skeptical whether the Political Parties Council will really manage this confusion.
Yeah,
because it's one thing that that is a bit tricky.
Yeah,
when we go to the election,
because
and it's one thing that also some of the parties to the agreement are saying, let us complete the security arrangement, because some of them are still holding military wing. So if they have not completed the security arrangement so that they can hand over their soldiers to the government, and then they remain as parties, and then they go to compete, it will be very difficult for them to register. They won't get registered in the Political Parties Council.
Okay.
And if they are not registered, the National Election Commission will not admit them to go and compete during the election. So this is where the dialogue is needed from these parties, so that they are made to understand what is this important. But then the condition, like for example, why does SPLM-IO insist that people should go for election? People should not go for election because there are prerequisites.
Yeah.
Of the agreement, and the first prerequisite is the security arrangement.
Yeah,
because the SPLM-IO is not yet a political party.
Okay,
they are in transition, so they need to get rid of their soldiers so that they can become the political party, and then now they can go and compete. At the current state, it's very difficult for them.
Now let us
the same with NDM.
Yeah.
NDM also has its own wing. The same with the party of the Vice President Hussein Abdelbaghi. They're still military. And then others. So they still have a long way to clear themselves from the military wing. Then they can go. Even the SPLM. Actually, SPLM has to clear itself also from this military wing, the defection. Those who defect to them, they need to disown them and say, no, it was a mistake to have brought them to the SPLM house. We don't have anything to do with them. We are purely.
These are some
of the things that they need to clarify, because otherwise the law can catch up with them, and it will be very difficult for them to get registered for the competition in the election. Yeah.
Now, let us look at the practical part before we hear from Honorable. I will ask you the same question, Honorable Ball. Now, with just 9 months to the expected general election in December, as per the roadmap, what are the practical steps the parties right now can do to ensure that we have at least a kind of democracy in our country, and the political parties play their role as we move towards the election, those who may get registered and also those who may not, because this will not be the end of the game. Elections are yet to come, because we have from OPP, I am told there are 20 political parties. The SOA have 9 political parties, and the rest. So what can they do right now to ensure that we have the smooth path towards December? Let's begin with you, Honorable Ball.
Thank you, Brother Sunny Martin. First of all, I wanted to go back and answer a question and talk a little bit about the question that you asked our representative of UNMISS earlier, political affairs.
Yeah.
Yes, the role of UNMISS has been noticed. UNMISS have played a great role in supporting the political parties in South Sudan here, but it is not enough. The parties need more support. And I think what was happening prior to the crisis, there was a USAID funding organization called IRI, and there was a DI.
Yeah.
When they pull out, it left a big vacuum on the political parties in South Sudan, where they were not able to do their work. UNMISS is helping political parties, but it's helping in a uniform help, where the political parties have their needs. A simple thing like a carrying a communication with their members, using a facility. These things are blocked, and UNMISS is not able to help the political parties in that area. And there is nowhere there where the political parties can run to go and get some support.
Mm.
The Political Party Act prevent the political parties from seeking support from any foreign entity or foreign organization or foreign country. So UNMISS is supposed to be the only available organization that can extend their hand and help this political party. Especially, we are getting closer now. Then a machine, little election, who election the maybe team lo al political parties and more union the magadrika lo manas bitong fi wilayat, fi counties and fi boomers.
Mm-hmm.
And they are not able to get there. A simple thing as a transport. UNMISS provide a transport flights from here to states. When a political party come and request a support of a system of travel from a state, from Juba here, Muslim, to any other state, Shanimshi Gabel Manas Bitol, Fi Munti Gadak, there is no support in that area.
Yeah.
And the cost of money of travel from here to the states, some of the political parties cannot afford it.
Why? Because so, you should be having member fee contribution monthly.
Yes, we have members fee, and I can take SANU. SANU, it is actually the oldest political party in South Sudan, and we have members in all the states. But 90% of our members are not working.
Mm-hmm.
They have no money. They are fighting to feed their children at home. They are fighting to pay for the school fees of their children. We're not going to grab a little bit that they have that they're feeding their children with, so we can go and travel from here to Awil, or travel from here to Jongole, to go and host and have a meeting with our members
but
and do a rally there.
The question,
they are paying.
Yeah,
they are paying. And what they're paying is what keep the office of SANU Party open. It's what make SANU Party go and do a rally in Nyakoran. It's what makes SANU Party do a rally in Jongole. It's what makes SANU Party go to Eastern Equatorial Torino and do a rally. It's what makes SANU Party make an event in Northern Barghazal.
Yeah.
It's what makes SANU Party have a sports team in Northern Barghazal. But it is not enough to carry most of important essential process and things that are supposed to be done by the political party.
The question people will be asking is, if you can't organize yourself and transport one member of yours from here to Malakal and from here to Warap, and you are aiming to capture power, how will you manage the entire country if you can't manage your small party?
I'm not saying that we are not able to manage. I have just given you a list of things that party have done.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying, when we're seeking a support, if UNMISS, for example, gave SANU Party 5 flight seats from Juba to Western Equatoria.
Yes.
Now, the money that the party was going to use for this ticket, they can use them to do something within the area there with the members in Western Equatoria.
Okay.
That is support if it happened.
Right.
You see? Now, let's go back to what we talk about it here, about the agreement, and my colleague here talked in length about the issues and the challenges that we are facing. When we're talking about the parties that have an element of military wing within their parties, once the agreement was signed, all the people with the uniform, they were supposed to go to the cantonment areas. They were supposed to hand their guns and hand their uniform and go to the cantonment area. And then the process of the training and graduation of the uniform officers was supposed to take place.
Mm-hmm.
The first phase is done. The second phase has started.
if we put our hands together and make sure this is done, then we are able to say, okay, that part is done. And the uniform already been out from all these political parties. And then they can come as pure political parties to seek a registration as a party with no military wing. You see, okay. This is important, and nobody will do that except the party itself. The leadership of party should be hard on making sure this is taken care of to be done. Number two, my brother said earlier, some of the things were pointed out by some political parties, signatories to the agreement. Those parties, signatories to agreement, they were not parties yet. They were signatories to agreement. Now, once we come in the process of implementation of the agreement, the process of registering those political parties was going to happen before the election.
Mm-hmm.
Now they will become political party, and then they will go for election with the registration that they will receive from the political party council.
Okay.
The issues that we have that they saying are preventing. One, for example, is issue of the constitution. We should have a permanent constitution because the agreement has noted out that we're supposed to have a permanent constitution that will lead us to the election. Now, the permanent constitution is not done. But that shouldn't be a reason for us not to go for an election, because we have a constitution that the country is running with right now.
Okay.
And we can use that constitution to go to election. And then when the president is elected, now the president will hold him accountable to make sure that the constitution is done.
All right.
In the timeline. And if it's not done within the timeline, we know who to ask.
Okay.
Because now we have an elected president that was supposed to go and get one and two done. And if they're not done, then they know who to ask for.
Okay. We are now opening up our lines for people to call 091-206-2079 or 091-206-2950. Or you can send us your comment or our SMS number 091-2177-141. Those are all our lines. You can get in touch with us here. And we do have a couple of questions coming via our SMS number here. And this one is coming from Philip. Philip is writing from Upper Nile in Malakal town of Upper Nile, and he says, my question is going direct to Dr. James O'Cook, and thanks for your elaborate discussion this morning. You're always very eloquent on matters of this country. He won't ask you, as a political analyst, what will it take to separate the military wing from any political parties in South Sudan, because this seems to be like five and six. They are so much connected to each other. That's from Philip in Malakal. The second question here is coming in from Jackson in Tomping in Juba here. He says, my question is also going to Dr. James O'Cook. What is your general reading of some of the political parties in this country? Do they have the capacity to influence any decision making, like you said earlier? That's from Jackson in Juba. And then another question here is coming in from Tut Miaker in Ruweng administrative area, and he's saying we need this election to be done so that every citizens of South Sudan may have their freedom and elect the people they want. But the question is, he's asking, is do we have the parties that can really contest apart from those we already know in mind? Are there political parties that can compete and challenge, compete for this election? That's from Tut Miaker in Ruweng administrative area. Maybe this will be answered by Honorable Ball. Let's begin with you, Honorable Ball.
Thank you very much.
As a leader of SANU,
thank you.
What can we expect from you?
Thank you very much. And actually, I will start with the question of Brother Tut Maker from Ruweng administrative area. Yes, Brother Tut, we need to give the powers back to the people of South Sudan and go for election. Election should happen in 2024. All the people of South Sudan should call out that all the leaders of this nation should go for election. Now, for the question of if there are parties that are ready to compete in this election. Yes, there is parties that are ready to compete in this election. We see the SPLM is doing their internal organization and they are ready for election. SANU Party is ready for the election. SANU Party, in all the 10 states and the 3 administrative areas, we are ready for the election. And if election were to happen, we have a goals that we have set. It is just because the National Election Commission did not yet announce the beginning of the campaign and the election fever. But we are working internally within our party to organize ourselves and to prepare. Our goal is to be the majority in the parliament, and we can achieve that with our members in all the states and with the people of South Sudan going for the free and fair election to elect who to vote for who they wanted to go to the
to the parliament legislature. So, Brother Toot, we are ready for election. SANU party, you can count on. It's one of the parties that are ready for the election coming December 2024. Jackson have made a comment. Brother James will respond to it.
Also, Philip.
Because it's about reading of what happened. And this is a response that he will... but I think parties are ready for the election. It may not be all the parties of South Sudan, but there's quite a few numbers of political parties that are organized, that are present and are ready to compete in this coming election. Philip asked a question of separating the military from the political parties. It starts from the party itself. If you want to be a party, democracy, you can mix the military and the civic civilian within the party. It will not be a party. So they need to take out their military uniform and proceed for the registration as a political party.
Okay.
We need to hold them, those leaders of those political parties, to hold them accountable instead of them trying to hold the people of South Sudan accountable for their process to clear out the military uniform from their parties.
Thank you so much. Yes, Dr. Okuk, because of the interest of time, maybe you can summarize the answers to the two questions and we conclude because the news is coming up.
Yes. How do we separate the military from the civilian political parties? It's very simple. You implement Chapter 2 of the Revitalized Peace Agreement as it is.
Mm-hmm.
The parties that have arm wings, they need to tell them to report themselves to cantonment areas, and from there they will get a screen. They go to training centers. They are graduated. And then they are deployed as part of the SSPDF. This is all. They become part of police or whatever section of the security sector that they will be deployed in. So that's what need to happen. But it seems some of the parties don't want to relinquish that very very easily. And as long as they don't relinquish that, I think the political parties council will disqualify them from registration, and if that happens, it means they will not compete in the upcoming election. So this is the consequence.
Okay.
So go to Chapter 2 of the security arrangement, and that will solve the problem of separation of the military from the political parties. And from there, those political parties who used to have military, they need to go and register and fulfill the criteria. If they cannot register alone, they need also to form coalition or alliances with others, then they can move on and register. So it is possible. It's not difficult. It's a matter of a decision to be taken by each and every political party that has a military wing. And the SPLM House, they need to distance themselves from the defectors who are military, and that one will save them from a lot of criticism.
Okay.
They should not receive anyone who defects as a military shouldn't be receiving the SPLM House or by SPLM
and the
party
last
and all this.
Our time is
this,
up.
This bring us to the whether these parties have the capacity to influence the public opinion. Yes, already they are trying. You can see the SPLM with all red shirt, red cap, going all around endorsing the president. That is part of the influence, actually, they're doing. So you can see already there is a move from them too. And also there is a counter move from the rest to put also their own yellow, their own, blue. I don't know, blue, so that they go and influence the people. So it is up to the people now to listen to who they want to join and who they want to elect. So that influence is there. It's not
thank you.
They have the capacity, these parties.
All right. Thank you very much, Honorable Bol Toby Modot. We hope to talk to you some other time during our sister program, the Roundtable, which is always lengthy. And also we want to thank Dr. James Okuk. Our political analyst is always available for Radio Mirai. Thank you both for coming, plus Paul Wani, who was online with us here. And that's it here for you this Thursday. We thank you so much for coming.
Thank you, Sani Martin.
Thank you very much, Sani Martin, for the show.
And the news will be coming next. My name is Sani Martin. Join me, same program, same radio station, next week.